This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of theater where fashion brings out the laughs and some touching stories, a good read or a discovery of what's new at the library, or a keyboard festival with a show-stopping tickling of the ivories, we've got answers. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Clothing and accessories will trigger memories in Le Petit Theater's Lagniappe opener, Love, Loss, and What I Wore by the late Nora Ephron and her sister Delia Ephron. Joining the cast of talented actresses is Mary Louise Wilson, known best for her Tony Award-winning performance in Grey Gardens. Who can forget that howl as she accepted the Tony back in 2007?
Oh, I have a friend that had a beagle who used to sing when you had a birthday, you know. So I was desperate. I had no idea what to say. So I just howled like the beagle. And it took care of things, you know.
Yeah, and it took off, a life of its own. Tell us, why is it important for you to be in New Orleans for this reopening of Le Petit and for the local premiere of the Ephron's play?
Well, I did some of the play in New York. I like the piece a lot, and I also am very, very fond of the director, Carl Walker, who I've worked with before.
You performed in the New York production of this work. Did you work with Nora and her sister at that time?
Yes.
Tell us about your experience.
Well, it was a big hit. Women loved the show, of course. Some men looked perplexed at certain references. The main body of the audience was women, and Nora was a delightful woman, and Delia.
So let's talk about the storyline of Love, Loss, and What I Wore. What's being explored in this series of monologues?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the importance of clothing to women in various stages of their life or their lives, and very different kinds of women, what their first party dress meant to them, what their costume when they were courting, and through their lives, what clothes represented for them.
Now, it sounds like this is a production maybe about fashion, but does it go deeper than women in fashion?
Oh, yes, I would say it is deeper than that.
What is it about women in clothes that makes this production attractive to audiences?
Unlike men, I think the clothes women wear are more important. Clothes have symbolism for women.
For example?
Well, fashions change. Much more for women than men. I mean, how many decades have men been wearing neckties? They seem to be going out now a little bit, but not entirely. And women, you know, their skirts go up and down and disappear and come back. And it's important for women to look, and for men, to look up to date. And it's much harder for women to do that because the fashion industry keeps changing their minds.
Is the monologue that you're doing in New Orleans the same monologue that you did in New York, or do you have a different one?
I have different ones.
Can you talk about one of them?
Well, one is a piece called I Hate My Purse. The purse to women is an extremely important article, which men don't have. Now, of course, there are what they call male purses or whatever.
Yeah.
But the purse is a necessary item for a woman, and yet it's something that is never quite resolved. What kind of purse, what size of purse. It's all very, very important to a woman's life, you know.
You were born in Connecticut, but you grew up in New Orleans. Tell us about your local roots.
Well, I went to Newman School. I dated. I was in a ball. We had our evening gowns made very quickly and inexpensively, usually. There were these dances for the girls in high school called the 8 O'Clocks, and they were held in the Jerusalem Temple down there near Lee Circle. And we wore starched petticoats, and they had to be starched so that they stood up by themselves on the floor. Sometimes we wore more than one. It was a sign of prestige to see how full your skirts could be. And lots of times underneath we wore our pajamas, because after the dance we would go to a pajama party, the girls. So it was kind of considered cute to see a girl dancing, and you'd see the starch petticoats and then the little ends of the pajama bottom.
So that relationship with clothing goes a ways back.
Oh, yes. I mean, I remember once my mother went to New York City and came home with these four dresses. I still remember vividly. She brought them at a magic time when I was turning 15, and suddenly I was attracted to boys. These dresses were just knockouts. One was a midriff dress, two-piece. I can't believe my mother bought it for me.
It's incredible how clothing triggers certain memories.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. And you remember details of a dress, you know, the rickrack around the collar, self-covered buttons, all of that.
Yeah. How did you go from New Orleans to New York and Broadway?
Well, I tell you, I was always acting when I was in New Orleans. I didn't have any competition, and my friends called me a character. When they were playing bridge, I was up on a table with a lampshade on my head saying, "Hey, look at me," you know. I was always performing. So I went off to theater school at the Northwestern and got the hell punched out of me because there was a lot of competition there. But I came to New York after that and somehow got into the Village world of theater, and just by hanging out, and got into a Circle in the Square production of Our Town, and then went from there to these reviews, and then just went on and on and on for 50 years. And now I've written a memoir called My First 100 Years in Show Business. I'm trying to publish.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what can audiences expect at the grand reopening of Le Petit with this performance?
Laughter and tears. And more laughter. and of course, memories of their own.
Yeah. And hope
to see you at the show.
Thank you. Same here.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Tony Award winner Mary Louise Wilson joins the cast of Love, Loss, and What I Wore by Nora and Delia Ephron, based on the 1995 bestseller by Eileen Beckerman, with recollections from the Ephron's friends. Wilson will perform the first weekend only, July 19th through 21st, with Tracy Collins, Lara Grice, Claire Moncrief, and Janet Shea. The second weekend of performances, July 26th through 28th, stars Leslie Caste, Cecile Montaigne, Nell Nolan, Janet Shea, and Carol Sutton. Le Petit Theater is located in the French Quarter at 616 St. Peter Street. More info at Le Petit Theater, that's theatre.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Libraries are a wonderful escape, especially on long, hot summer days. Have you checked out what's new at the New Orleans Public Library? Well, whether you remember the original movie presentation of The Music Man from 1962 or the made-for-television version from 2003, you no doubt carry with you the images of Marion, the librarian. But WWNO's Sharon Litwin, who produces Notes from New Orleans, says Marion wouldn't recognize today's libraries.
Libraries today still have books, but more and more they also have computers and iPads, DVDs and audiobooks. But even in this digital age, there are still folk who want to read a real book, even if they feel they may be members of a vanishing tribe.
Well, I'm one of you. I buy very few books. I read a lot, but I buy very few books. And I meet my reading needs through the New Orleans Public Library.
That's Charles Brown, the recently appointed executive director of the New Orleans Public Library. He may like the feel of the books in his hands, but he knows the world has changed. And he's making sure our library changes with it.
I've never downloaded a book. And so that's just a frontier that I'm not quite ready to cross yet. But for those who have crossed it, I hope they'll keep the New Orleans Public Library in mind because we meet your needs in that area as well. Sharon, for those who may have an interest in downloading ebooks, they can go to the library's homepage, which is at www.neworleanspubliclibrary.org. Go to ebooks, audiobooks, music, and more. That will enable them to get instructions on how to download ebooks.
Charles Brown and his library board are acutely aware that as much as one-third of our area's citizens have no access to this new computerized world.
I think it's 33% of the households here don't have access to broadband. Either they don't have access to a full-service computer, or they lack the necessary skills to really utilize a computer to the best of their ability. And that's becoming crucial now because it's almost impossible to find a job or to apply for a job unless you apply for it online. So for someone who's been in the service industry or as a laborer, many of those individuals don't even know what a mouse is. So the library provides very basic, you know, instruction and assistance for them in terms of finding a job, because most of the jobs are advertised online now. And secondly, being able to, you know, apply for a job once they find something that they're interested in.
But applying online is also an essential for parents attempting to enter their children in the new charter school system.
So we're creating designated computers in all 14 of our library locations, and we'll have staff there to assist individuals in terms of applying for schools for their children for the next school year. So the library is continuing its information role, but just in an electronic age.
The main library at 219 Loyola Avenue was built in 1958 and now is in serious need of physical upgrading if it is to continue its service to this community as well as protect its unique and valuable collections.
And then we have two very specialized collections at the main library. One of them is an African American Resource Center that specializes in information and materials of interest related to African American research. And then we have the Louisiana Division, which is a gem in terms of historical research, genealogical research. I think very few people realize the depth of holdings that we have at the main library. We are the official archives for the city of New Orleans. And so we have records, photographs, etc., going back over 200 years.
Now, those precious archives actually live underground. Charles Brown says it was a Katrina miracle that the collection was not destroyed. But the fact that this miracle was too close for comfort is not lost on him.
I don't think people realize how much there is. I had a conversation with Irene Wainwright, who heads up that division, and she estimates that there's probably about 46,000 linear feet of material in the basement. Not only in the basement, but also in the sub-basement. So it really is frightening, and that is a high priority for the library board and the administration to try to find a way to resolve that issue. Because also the current collection is not in any kind of climate-controlled environment. So it's a challenge, just another challenge.
So while you can hear this jovial gentleman is not your prim librarian, he is, in fact, a very serious librarian whose first and overwhelming priority is to find a way to financially stabilize one of this city's important cultural assets. To learn more about the New Orleans Public Library, go to wwno.org or nolavie.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.
Our aspirations are wrapped up in books. Our inclinations.
Sharon Litwin's Notes from New Orleans is brought to you in partnership with NOLA-V and is made possible with the assistance of the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation. Come Monday, classical music aficionados will be heading uptown, their destination, Loyola University, as the 2013 New Orleans Piano Institute and Keyboard Festival, presented by MASNO, the Musical Arts Society of New Orleans, gets underway. Joining me now to talk about the week-long focus on the keyboard is MASNO's Executive Director, Daniel Weilbacher. Dan, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Diane. It's good to be back.
There's lots to be excited about this year, including the New Orleans Piano Institute's inaugural solo piano competition. Tell us, what can we look forward to in this event?
Well, this is the first time we will be doing the competition just amongst the students of the Piano Institute. It will be Monday and Tuesday, afternoon and evening. We have two divisions in this solo piano competition. Division 1 is for contestants 16 and under, and Division 2 is for contestants 17 and older. Each of the divisions will play two rounds. Division 1 is a Monday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the older division is at 7 in the evening. And then they'll play again on Tuesday, again at 3 and at 7. By the way, this is open to the public free of charge. And at the end of the Tuesday performances, the jury will award the first prize winner in each division a $700 cash award, $300 for second place, and $100 for third place. And it's our first time to do this, and we're very excited about the possibilities.
So tell me, how are these young people being judged?
assembled a jury independent of the teaching faculty. Lois Leventhal from University of Southern Mississippi will chair the jury. We'll also have Kenneth Bolton from Southeastern and Hammond, and Greg Ciolas from LSU. Those will be the three judges of the competition. They'll make the decision on Tuesday night, and it'll be announced to the general public then.
And what are they generally looking for in these performances?
Well, they're looking for outstanding musicianship first, which musicians really speak to them, which pianists can actually lift the music off the page so it becomes something more than just reading the notes. They'll know it when they hear it.
Now, this event, does it replace the international piano competition that Masno is known for?
Yes, in a way. This is our first time in 25 years not to have the big international competition. The Masno board has decided to do the big competition every other year. So it'll be in the even numbered years. Next year in 2014, the international competition will be there.
Now, I understand that you have former gold medalists from the international piano competition performing. Who are they and what can we look forward to?
Well, this is the continuation of the keyboard festival that Masno has been producing since 1980. And what we're doing this year is bringing back three former gold medalists from the big competition. Friday night, Igor Reznyansky, who won in 1999, will be performing at 7 o'clock. And Saturday at 7 o'clock, Dustin Gledhill, who won in 2003, will perform. And then the week will be closed on Sunday afternoon with a 2 o'clock performance by Spencer Meyer, who won the competition in 2006. These three performances in the closing weekends are the only things that we're charging admission for. Everything else during the week, the competition, the institute, all the master classes and lectures are free and open to the public.
And do you know what works they'll be performing?
Yes, it's a wide variety. Igor Reznyansky will be doing works by Mozart and Chopin. Dustin Gledhill on Saturday will be doing a suite by Jean-Philippe Rameau, and also a set of preludes by Gabriel Fauré, and Prokofiev, the Fourth Sonata. And Spencer Meyer on Sunday afternoon will be playing the first book of the Debussy Preludes. He's doing a Haydn Sonata, and then he's closing with the great A major Sonata of Schubert.
Wow.
So it's quite a nice variety of repertoire.
Yes. Yeah. And there's more. Their lectures and their master classes that
right.
are open to the public?
Absolutely. Master classes, at least one, if not two, every day of the week. And the lectures, we have two lectures during the week, both of which will help to introduce the repertoire that audiences will be hearing. The first lecture is on Monday afternoon, and we'll discuss the repertoire in the solo competition. The Piano Institute's contestants will be playing. And then on Friday, again, the lecture will be on the repertoire that the three gold medalists will be performing over that weekend. And the lectures are going to be shared. It's going to be like a panel discussion. Raymond Goetz and Sharon Horton will be on that panel discussing the repertoire.
And the master classes?
Are done by faculty members of the Institute. We have a core faculty that we bring in every summer. The students in the Institute will take three lessons with one of those faculty members. And so the faculty, in addition to teaching private lessons, also will give at least one master class during the week. And it's like a public lesson. The audience just sits there and watch the student plays, and then the teacher gets up there and suggests things to improve their performance. It's very interesting.
The winners of the competition will come away with prizes. What are you hoping audiences will take away from this experience?
Well, I hope that they'll enjoy hearing this wonderful performances and that they'll get involved with who they think should win or who shouldn't, and just see how it ends up. The main thing is with just a wonderful musical experience of hearing some very young talents perform magnificently.
Wow.
And then on Thursday evening, we're doing the concerto competition, which has been an ongoing event in the competition. It used to be in the morning, but we're moving it to the evening now. And the concerto competition is sponsored by the Steinway Society of New Orleans. The winner has the opportunity to perform later in the fall with the New Orleans Civic Symphony. And also there's an honorarium, $500 for the winner of that. And on Saturday during the day, we have the showcase recital by all the students in the Institute. We have 24 of them this year. And the faculty decides which one of the Institute students deserves the prize, and the prize is that they come back next year without having to pay the tuition.
If you love classical music, Uptown is the place to be next week.
Absolutely, yes.
Dan, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you, Diane.
Dan Weilbacher, Executive Director of the Musical Arts Society of New Orleans. Masno presents the 2013 New Orleans Piano Institute's Solo Piano Competition and Keyboard Festival July 22nd through 28th at Loyola University. More info at masno.org. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. Renowned guitarist and former Tonight Show bandleader, Kevin Eubanks will headline the Louis Armstrong Summer Jazz Camp Benefit Concert. Eubanks will be joined by Queen of Swing Norma Miller and Edward Kidd Jordan, along with the Louis Armstrong Jazz Camp faculty and alumni. It takes place tomorrow night from 7 until 10:30 at the Little Gem Saloon, 445 South Rampart Street, corner of Rampart and Poitras Streets. And Longview House and Gardens, in conjunction with the local chapter of the Herb Society of America and the New Orleans Botanical Garden Foundation, present The Drunken Botanist, an evening with superstar garden writer Amy Stewart. Her presentation is called The Plants That Create the World's Great Drinks. There is limited seating for this event, which includes cocktail tasting. It takes place Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at Longview House and Gardens, 7 Bamboo Road in New Orleans. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.